in the times of fellowship and privilege of being in Connecticut. I've been out driving during the day. I don't normally, I guess it's been 20 years since I've had a vacation. Brother Thompson said, we're going to arrange to get you a car where you can just do what you want to do during the day. And one day I forced myself to stay in bed almost till noon, and I preach against that, you know, so I had to force myself because of knowing how much sleep and, you know, rest that I have missed lately, but I enjoy working for the Lord. And I would say that I have never become involved in anything that I have felt that was any more in the will of God than doing what I'm doing right now. I enjoy pastoring my church, and I love them, and they love me. But I feel like that our ministers need to rise up and take a stand for the Christian home. And it's not altogether a sacrifice, because I don't really think that the word sacrifice is even known in love's vocabulary. What you love to do and what Jesus did, he didn't really consider dying for us particularly a sacrifice, because he wanted to do it. It was love that made him do it. Amen. You get up in the middle of the night to take a bottle to a baby that's crying, you don't think, well, I'm going to sacrifice 5 minutes sleep here. No, you just get up because you love that baby. You take that bottle to that baby, or sit up all night long with them, rocking them or nursing them and taking care of them. You just feel like it's the thing to do, because love says that you do that when you love. Amen. So I'd like to compliment all of you that have been so attentive, and I would encourage all of you, if you've had to miss a night because of work or something, and you'd like to still receive a certificate of completion, if you will listen to the tape and or go through the book, and we don't want anyone to miss out on a completion certificate. Everyone will receive a certificate of completion if you've been in the seminar. Even the married couples, you'll get a certificate of completion each if you come all the time or most of the time, plus the certificate of recommitment. Sometimes there's a husband who has to work and couldn't be there every night, so the two of them will get the certificate of recommitment in the recommitment ceremony. But I want all of you to be able to receive one of those that possibly can. All right, you may be seated, and I want you to turn again with me tonight to the book of Ephesians. We're going to go back again to the same passage of Scripture, because that's where we find the instructions for both. And once again, I would like to remind you of what the survey revealed about marriage concerning man and woman. I want to read these to you again, because I think it's very vital. And if you happen to be listening to the tape again later on, you will have this statement on both of the tapes, and you can simply ask yourself the question, what was my main motivation for marrying? For the man, they said that first, of course, they thought it was love that they married for, the first reason. Second was money and status. They did not feel they could reach their place in life without a wife. And in order to have money and status, they had to have a wife. Third was sex. Love, one, money and status, second, and sex was third. And in the woman, when they polled them to inquire why they married, number one, they thought it was love. And it might be interesting to you in further studies, what a woman thinks about as being love is sometimes altogether different than what a man considers love. A woman is more prone to be attracted toward companionship and security in the home and making sure that everything is just as it should be. Where a man, sometimes he could just sleep in a sleeping room and walk back and forth to work if he has his physical needs met. A woman's not that way. She really wants to have things more secure. So a man was number one, love; two, money and status; three, sex. For a woman, it was love. Number two, parental pressure was one of the reasons that she married. And number three, social expectation. It just seemed to be expected. Now, across the country, there are churches who are introducing what they call a family night. And I think that's very, very good. In many churches, it's Monday night that is the family night. I know in Brother Jim Rome's church, he was there a while back, and on Wednesday night, they have a family bulletin. And they distribute this to the church people on Wednesday night, and they have prepared a lot of things that families can do for enjoyment. And they researched it. They formed a committee to find out in their communities what they could do that was wholesome, enjoyable, things of entertainment, what you could do as a family for fun together on off-service nights, places you might go that would still be within the realm of what the Christian concept would be, you know, places to eat, films you could check out from the library, you know, different things, ideas. Sometimes people get the idea that to be a Christian is boring. But I don't think it's boring. I think it's the most exciting life in all the world. But I do think there are some wholesome things we can kind of plan into our families. And I'd like to read a clipping to you that was taken from the newspaper a while back. It said, "Be successful, kiss your wife." It said a West German insurance company made a study and learned that husbands who kiss their wives before leaving for work in the mornings live 5 years longer than the average male. They also have 20 to 25% higher incomes and lose only half as much time through illness and have fewer accidents. How many want me to read that again? Now, I honestly believe that that's proper statistics, because if you get started right in the morning, it's really going to affect your whole day. A man that gets up and fixes his own toast in the morning and takes off, you know, without that comfort of communication, and just heads down through the road of life, you know, and he's alone, as it were. But a woman and a man that communicate properly, yeah, they can really make it easier for one another. So be successful, kiss your wife. So a West German insurance company makes a study and learned that husbands who kiss their wives before leaving for work in the mornings live 5 years longer than the average male. They also have 20 to 25% higher incomes, lose only half as much time through illness, and have fewer accidents. In other words, they have a higher esteem for themselves, and so as a result, they do a better job and they make progress on their jobs. So all you lady folks and all you men folks, I believe a word to the wise is sufficient. Amen. Let's clap our hands for Jesus. Ephesians chapter 5, let's turn there and let's begin to read. Let's begin to read again from verse 20 through verse 33 one more time. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 20 through 33. I'd like for you to read, if you have your notebook, I want you to follow along in the notes very closely in this last lesson, because we don't want to slight the ladies in any way, and in some seminars they almost demand equal time. And we don't want them to feel like that we are letting ourselves off light at all. But let me just read this as you listen closely. Verse 20. At all times and for everything, giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father, be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ, Messiah, the Anointed One. Wives, be subject, be submissive, and adapt yourselves to your own husbands as a service to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, himself the Savior of his body. As the church is subject to Christ, so let wives also be subject in everything to their husbands. Now, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. I want you to mark that in your Bibles, in your King James Version of the Bible. That particular verse is a very key verse for every one of you men, so that you might know what God's will is for you with respect to your own wife. Husbands, love your wife. It simply gives us that simple instruction, maybe not as lengthy and as graphic as the wife's instruction to the husband, but when you begin to run the references, you find that it is all-encompassing with all kinds of things that a husband should do. Any one of you who were courting over a length of time, you could think of almost every conceivable way to express yourself. I mean, your ideas just roamed the range of your mind, and you framed up and schemed up and did everything. I wrote poetry. I guess I was so crazy with what I thought. I was so far in love that I guess I broke out with chills, and I almost had the hives, I'm sure. I had a nervous condition, and I mean, everything. I was so out of gear. I thought, hey, if I don't get her and get her quick, I just can't make it without her. I thought I really had found what I wanted. And then when we married, I began to try to live out those things that I had dreamed of having someone for my very own. Now, Jesus Christ is giving us the instructions here that husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. How many of you can think tonight of ways that Jesus Christ shows his love for the church? When you about think you understand the love of God, you find that he comes at you from an entirely different direction. He is loving us and 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 coming at us in all ways to prove that He loves us. And in the framework of God's great plan, for God so loved the world that He gave. In other words, He gave His very own self. He gave. That typifies and signifies and just says a whole lot of things about God's love. God gave because He loved. And so Paul, writing here to the church at Ephesus, he says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. In other words, he stripped Himself of everything so that He could show that love. He came, as it were, and lowered Himself to the position of a servant that He might prove His love. Amen. I hope you can get that in your mind tonight. Let's go on. Verse 26. So that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the Word, that He might present the church to Himself in glorious splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and faultless. Even so, husbands should love their wives as being, in a sense, their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and carefully protects and cherishes it, as Christ does the church. Remember, we are members of His body. We're parts of His body. Because we are members, parts of His body, for this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is very great, but I speak concerning the relation of Christ and the church. However, let each man of you, without exception, love his wife as being, in a sense, his very own self, and let the wife see that she respects and reverences her husband, that she notices him, regards him, honors him, prefers him, venerates and esteems him, and that she defers to him, praises him, and loves him, and admires him exceedingly. Emphasis on the husband's responsibility now to the wife. What should be the responsibilities? What does God actually say with respect to these responsibilities? I well understand that in a congregation of this size, I'm sure there are those who, out of necessity, wives who have had to take on additional roles in addition to being a housewife because of the economic situations that's in our world today. I think that there needs to be something said along those lines because a lot of women that have to work don't want to work, but out of the necessities that they find themselves faced with, have to almost to make it. I want you to know tonight that in a home like that, it takes an extra amount of benevolence on the part of the man to understand what that wife is experiencing. Because in addition to everything that she already has to do, she is already known in Scripture as the weaker vessel, yet in some respects, she has had to take and assume a role in addition to all of her regular duties to helping to win and make the bread for that particular family. I believe that a man needs to show a special concern and love and kindness for his wife, to be of help to her in every conceivable way. And everybody said amen. I really believe again that we do not want to get hung up again on roles here. A man needs to know that he also can cook and that he also can share in the responsibilities. I think that husbands and wives need to train their children so that a boy knows how to do some basic things that you might think that are only for girls. It don't hurt for a boy to know how to cook. It's not sissy to cook. It's not sissy to do dishes. Believe me, if you live long enough and raise a family, you'll have to learn to do some things that seem to be for the opposite sex. So for a woman to have to assume a part of the role of responsibility of earning the bread, I believe that a husband should be extremely thoughtful and help her in every possible way to make it easy for her, because that's not an easy task. And sometimes husbands, I know in my lifespan there have been times because of economic situations I've had to work a second job. And I remember one night as I was bent over a drawing board in the engineering business, I was working, drawing for a consulting engineer, doing some plans, and I heard a man at the next table talking to another man. He said, you know, I heard that so-and-so died just lately. He said he was rather young to pass away. He said he was only in his early 40s and said, what a shock it was. He said, my wife saw his wife on the bus the other day and said she got the shock of her life. Said she was offering her sympathies for the family, and said the wife, when asked how they were doing now, made the remark, well, we're doing quite well. And she said, you possibly wouldn't understand what I mean by that. She said, but my husband had such a desire to be a success in business. Said, for 15 years, he has reached his goal. He became a success in business. But she said, we loved him and he was a good provider. But she said, for 15 years, the family has somewhat been in the way. Said, we haven't been able to do the things we wanted to do as a family. Said, we've only been able to just fit into his schedule because he had a desire to be a success. And said, but for the first time in 15 years, we are getting to do the things that we've wanted to do all along. And I thought, oh, what an indictment. There I was leaning over the drafting board, thinking of trying to earn a little extra money for the things that we couldn't seem to buy with my regular paycheck. And I got to thinking, God, could it be possible that I'm here working for these extra few dollars, that I'm wasting, as it were, the time that's the most valuable that there is in all the world? Those little children that you think will be with you for a long period of time, it's like James said, it's like a vapor. They're here, and then they're gone. You have so few years to make an impression on their life. You have so few years to enjoy your children. I'm saying tonight, dads, you need to take the responsibility and the role of leadership in that home, that you make sure that you love your wife and that you give yourself just like Jesus did for the church and give yourself for her and absolutely every way let that woman know how much you love her and give your time to her, give your attention to her, make her know that you love her. I took that evening, I went home with a little bit of a funny feeling in my heart because I was so busy for the church and I didn't think I was neglecting my children. But I went home and I said to my wife, I said, honey, we're changing our whole lifestyle. I said, we're going to start having a family day for our children. And so she said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, every week we're going to set aside at least a day just for our kids and not let anything encroach upon that. The church is not going to take our time in that. I'm going to give my time to the church and to the Lord, but I'm also going to give my time to my family. I do not believe that the call of God even comes above the family. I don't believe that God would upset the very thing He's using to demonstrate His kingdom to the world and let the call of God upset the family. I believe that the family flows into the will of God and the call of God. But a man can't say, I neglect my family because I'm called of God. That's not a good excuse, and that won't stand up for God because God wouldn't upset the thing that He's using to demonstrate His will to the world. Can you believe tonight that the Scripture wants the family to be strong? Let's clap our hands for the Lord. So I remember we began to have a family day, and we had those children, all five of them, and I started signing each week. Honey, you can plan the family activity this week. Whatever you plan to do, plan it well, because when we get together, we're going to do it. And we would do as well as possible what that child thought we wanted to do that week, and we'd try to give each one of them a chance to plan the activities. And on Saturday morning, sometimes, for a couple, 3 hours, we'd go maybe down like to the Salvation Army store, the Goodwill store, and give them all a half a dollar, a dollar, and turn them loose in that big store, and they'd come back with a bunch of junk. But just the feeling of the fact that they had Daddy and Mama with them, it was a very enjoyable occasion. We were together. A while back, my married son that's a minister, he called me and he said, Dad, he said, I want to come home. God's been dealing with me about something. And he said, I want to come and talk to you. He said, I want to write a book. When he came home, he told me about his chapter structure. He said, I want to call the book Daddy Always Eats First. And on the front of the cover is a picture of the family eating together. And the daddy sitting at the head of the table, reaching over into the platter, the big chicken or whatever was there. And at the side is his son. The picture, you know, the graphics of the illustration that daddy is always the one that eats first. In his mind, he was typifying, likening the dad to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gets first choice of everything. Dad gets first choice of everything. In his chapter structure, one of the chapters was the 12-mile ride. That didn't seem so significant to me, but just that evening drive over to a neighboring town. You never know what makes a lasting impression on your family. Just to get alone, away from the phone, nobody but you and your little darlings, being together, and that 12-mile ride, when many nights we'd come home, and they'd all be asleep in the station wagon. Another chapter there was sounding it out, likening it to the family swim when we would go out together at a pond or a lake and Dad would get in the water and walk out there a good distance and then tell the family, it's safe, you can come in here. Likening it to the fact that Jesus said, I've been down this road before and you can trust me, it's safe here. Aren't you happy? That's the kind of security that a family needs to receive from the daddy. Amen. I thought, oh God, if I could live my life over, I would spend more time with my children. I'd do more to show them my love. They're gone so very quickly. Fathers, dads, husbands here tonight, in the concluding lesson here, I want to emphasize on you more than any other lesson here that you must assume the responsibilities that the Scripture teaches if you're to receive the fulfillment of knowing that God's will has been done in your life. The emphasis here is obvious. In the kingdom of God, the objective of the individual is always in this manner. It reaches away from himself to the other person. That's true whether you be man or woman. Always in the kingdom of God, we're thinking of the object of doing something to make other people happy. That's the very nature of being a dad. That's the very nature of being a good husband, is trying with every fiber of your being, with your every scheme and dream. You frame in your mind what you're going to do to make your wife happy. You scheme in your mind what you're going to do for your kids to make them happy. I remember Mark, our son, we would ride along and I'd say, well, did you kids have a good time tonight? And Mark had a tendency when he was a little smaller, he'd say, well, not a very good time. And I'd look through the rearview mirror and Carrie, my oldest daughter, would nudge him. Tell him we had a good time. Tell him. Well, we had a pretty good time. Tell him. Yeah, we had a good time, but he didn't want to admit he was having a good time. But, oh, it brings fulfillment to a mom and dad to know they've done something for the family that makes that family really happy. Do you love God for your family? Oh, hallelujah. Do you love God for your family? Do you love God for your wife? Do you love God for your children? Oh, they're treasures. No success outside the home can compensate for failure in the home. Amen. So the wife's objective, obviously, is always to build her husband. And the husband's objective always should be that he would be building his wife. The Holy Scriptures teaches us this. And the wife, the Bible, the Scripture teaches us in so many ways, is a reflection of her husband. The church tonight is a reflection of Jesus Christ. If we're poorly reflecting him to the world, it's not his fault. It is our fault. And many times, if we will just allow ourselves to see these scriptural principles, we would see that the church being a reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's so important that a wife endeavor to be a reflection of her husband and that the husband would live in such manner that she could reflect him to the world. Many times, husbands, if there's something wrong with our wife and with our family situation, all we need to do is go to the mirror and look and we'll find the problem right there. Every man needs to start looking into his own life if he finds something wrong, because the Bible teaches us that a man should examine himself. Sometimes we want to find all the reasons why things aren't going right and blame it on our marriage mate. But the place that we should start, if we're going to be a good leader and if we're going to lead them properly, is to go right to God and look at ourselves in the mirror and say, God, what can I do to make it better? And then when the wife begins to submit, she reflects that proper leadership of her husband. How should we look? If Christians look like crab apples that's put up in vinegar, who's going to say how wonderful the Lord is? And if a wife is frumpy and grumpy and unpleasant, what kind of testimony is that? That doesn't reflect her husband. But if a wife has learned the secret of directing her ministry away from herself to build her husband, and if the husband has learned the secret of directing his ministry away from himself to make his wife happy and make her content, she will become a radiant person. Because a woman really needs the security and the feeling of being really well loved and liked by her husband. I believe that with all my heart. You can see families where the husband is taking proper care of the wife. You can see it reflected in her grace, her charm, her contentment, her radiance. Instead of being frustrated, you find that she is so very content, and everybody gets the idea that she knows who she is. Let's clap our hands for the Lord. Amen. Phillips' translation says, we are an advertisement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that advertisement starts at home. We better not try to win souls until we get our home together. Amen. All right. Therefore, if the objective of the wife is to manifest a quiet and a reverent and a submissive and a thankful spirit toward her husband, then what are the husband's objectives? They also form an acrostic, and it's not quite so lovely as the QRST that the women had. It's like this, S-A-C-K, SAC. S stands for security. Let's say security. A stands for appreciation. Let's say appreciation. C for communicate. K for kisses. And everybody said, that sounds exciting. All right, let's look first at security. Security, a very vital thing that needs to be in the home. The husband must provide this for the wife. When you begin to think of Jesus being the one who secured us, the very object of Jesus is to provide security. Jesus secured us. Jesus is our covenantal Savior. Jesus bound Himself to us. He said He would never leave us nor forsake us. And husbands, that needs to be also what you would say to your wife. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And if Brother Terry won't mind me using him as an example tonight, we went to the bank. He cashed his check, and at the window, he asked him why they wouldn't cash his wife's check the other day. She said, well, it probably wasn't that we weren't going to cash it. We were just asking some questions. Because some women come here who say their marriage is so-and-so that they're not. They've been divorced, and they're separated, and all that business. And Brother Terry looked back and he said, I don't ever intend to ever have that happen to me. He said, it's going to never be, that with me. And the lady on the other side of the window said, well, I feel the same way about myself, you know. So many things. Did you know that a wife needs to feel the security of knowing that her husband is totally committed to her for a lifetime? This isn't just when things are going good, but the security must be that that family knows that Dad means business from now until death. Let's say security. Husbands need to make it plain to their wives. We need to let them know that we love them above everything in all the world. Every man needs to let his wife know that he would rather be with her than any human being on the face of the earth, and that nothing is going to separate them. Paul told the Romans, he said, nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Amen. He listed a whole catalog of things. And I want to tell you tonight that homes where the husband has made it clear and plain, you're mine, I'm yours, nothing is going to separate us. We're going to make it through every one of our trials and problems. You are the darling of my life. I believe that that brings a tremendous amount of security to a home and to a wife to know that that husband really means business. Amen. Let's say security. There comes a great amount of strength through affirming this. I think that a man needs to tell his wife he loves her continuously. I mean, she's heard it 1,000 times, but she needs to hear it every day. Love her. Love her as Christ gave Himself and loved the church. Love her. Give yourself to her. Give your time to her. Give everything you have to her. Give your intellect to her. Plan for her. Scheme for her. Love her. Do things for her. Help her. Let her know. Let her feel the security of knowing that she is a well-loved individual. Amen. Clap your hands for the Lord. Everybody smile. Amen. Turn around there, you men. Smile at your wife and say, I'm with the preacher all the way. Okay. We don't believe that we need to plan that every family is going to hit a snag and that divorce is going to come down the line somewhere. You need to wipe that word clear out of your vocabulary. When you're married, you better just say, no, we don't believe in that business. We're going to stay together. Say amen. Amen. I'm going to be there. I'm going to make it. We need to plan our finances together. Husband needs to take the responsibility, but he needs to let her know, look, I'm responsible. I'm the one that's responsible. I consider you, but I'm going to let you feel secure. You're not going to have to worry about the bills because I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to get me some kind of a job. If it's emptying garbage or cutting down trees, I'm not going to leave you to wonder if you're going to have a roof over your head. I'm not going to leave you to wonder if you're going to have money to buy groceries next week because I want to provide you that security. I'll do something to provide for you. A woman that has to always wonder if her husband's going to provide the food, that is a very unstable marriage. If she thinks she's going to have to make up the gap because he's too lazy to work, that's not a secure home. A man needs to provide security to let that woman know, I will provide for you. If it so happens that he becomes sick and can't, then everyone understands, and God will make up the difference. But husbands, I want you to know that there's no place for laziness in the kingdom of God. There's some way for a person to make a living. Amen. I've done almost everything. I don't think I've ever drawn one unemployment check in my life. But I don't say that boastfully. I just always felt like, hey, that was for people who couldn't do anything else. I'd get out and get me a job doing something. I've been through several depressions and recessions, and I've picked up bottles since I've been married. I've got out along the highways when there was recessions. But I wanted to earn. I wanted to do something to provide for my family. I remember getting a job moving furniture. I only weighed 125 pounds. And I recall having to move furniture up and down flights of stairs, pianos, and washing machines and all. I think that a man is a disgrace to the family of God if he's lazy. Amen. There's something we can do. We ought to provide security for our wife. And everybody said security. Amen. She shouldn't have to meet the bill collectors at the door. Take away the burden of that insecurity from her. Remember, no one got to dun Jesus' bride. Jesus took care of his bride. Hallelujah. Let's say security. Let's say security. Let's say security. You husbands need to know, that wife needs to know that rent will be paid, that car payment will be paid, that there is a roof over her head, that you don't have to chew fingernails every night wondering if they're going to come and yank the thing out from under you. Security. Secondly, is appreciation. Let's say appreciation. Now, I'll admit, I won't take a show of hands, but I'm sure that some are more romantic than others. We won't take a show of hands because it might shock us tonight here. But some obviously are romantic and others are not quite as romantic. But you know your particular category. Now, when this seminar is over and you're thinking of all the things that you saw in Scripture you didn't see before, and the wives are thinking of ways that can be more kind and loving and you know, thankful and submissive, and the husband's thinking of ways he can be more, you know, caring and showing his love. One of these days, you're probably going to say, let's go out to eat, and you're going to be sitting there looking at each other, thinking of this seminar, and you're both trying to think of the way you're going to introduce all this new thing that you think you need to be doing or take up the slack. And all of a sudden, you're probably going to sit there, and both of you are going to try to find words, and all of a sudden, you're going to go, ha, 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 ha. You're going to probably both just burst forth and giggle, because, you see, some things are so serious, they get funny sometimes. But I don't know how you choose to enact the things or to introduce the things that the Holy Scripture tells you to do, but they do need to be done. I believe that God, before the rapture of this church, wants your home and my home to be a home where there's love, where there's joy, where there's peace, and where the Holy Ghost is really ruling, where we love each other, where we consider each other, where we care for each other, where we communicate with each other. Courtship is so mushy sometimes. And then when you get married, 70% of the marriage after they have pronounced you man and wife is talking. 70% of it is talking. And yet some people get to where the older they get, the less they have to say. There's no communication. If there's no talking, there's not going to be much communication. There won't be anything beyond the words. And if there's no words, there'll be nothing beyond that. You need to continue to communicate with each other. Talk about your problems together. Talk about your care for each other. Compliment one another. Care for each other. Look after one another. If you have a working wife, help her with the chores. Cook a meal for her once in a while. Do something to show her. Wives and husbands, I'm telling you, if we'll work together, this word appreciation must come first from the husband to the wife. Remember, she bore the children into this world. I don't think there's one of us tonight, we men, that would like to trade places with our wives. I guarantee you I wouldn't. I want you to know that first baby, when that first baby came, I was so, I fainted. I was standing out in the hallway. My wife had been in labor 18 hours. And I'm standing out there pacing the hall and everything. And pretty soon here they came. And they said, we got something to show you. And you know, a lot of babies when they're born, they, you know, they've got marks on them. And they look like they fell off the back of a truck or something, you know. And I was so thankful that the baby was alive and all. And here they'd stretch your little head, you know, and in the birth process. And I looked at that baby as my first. And oh, I'm telling you, I was so overwhelmed. I leaned up against the wall and I just like a macaroni. I just slid right down the wall. Then I got up and oh, I had tears in my eyes. You know, grown men are not supposed to cry. So I went in the lavatory and I got in there. And boy, I washed my face. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Different men came and went, and they thought, that fellow's got the dirtiest face in town. Oh, no. I just cried, and I thanked Jesus, and I was thanking the Lord. And as soon as I could get in there where she was, still groggy, I went and I began to just rub her face. I said, oh, honey, you did a beautiful job. We've got a beautiful little girl. You're so sweet. I love you. I appreciate you. Men, let me tell you something. A woman goes down the death door to bring a baby into the world. It should not be taken as a trivial thing. There's pain. They'll never be any nearer to death than they are right at the time of that birth. One thing can go wrong, and the whole thing is a real tragedy. How many of you men love your wives and appreciate the fact that God allowed her to bring those babies into this world? Clap your hands to the Lord. Let's give our wives a good round of applause. They did a pretty good job. I remember this last baby. After all these years, it took two doctors to convince us that we were really expecting a baby, you know. We thought it was a gallbladder problem, you know. And honestly, we did. Shortly before that, I'd changed our church letterhead to New Life Apostolic Church, and I had Brother O.C. Marler come and preach us a More Life crusade, and believe me, it worked. It really worked. So he was out there preaching. My wife was so sick, and I'll never forget, she's sitting there, and Brother Marler was fixing to preach, and he said, "Let's all pray. Brethren, several of you go over there and lay hands on Sister Grisham. Let's pray that whatever this is that's fixed itself on her, that whatever it is, that God will help her." Those brethren laid hands on her and shook her around a little bit, and it seemed to help for a few days, but she was right back into the pain again. But it was not gallbladder. My son Mark, that's a preacher, he called. He said, "Dad," he said, "something dreadful's wrong with Mom." He said, I'm burdened. He said, "I'm flying home, and we're going to fast and pray till we get a hearing from God." I said, "Come on home, son." He flew home. We really got down to business. We didn't know whether it was cancer or what, you know. But come to find out, the doctor said, "You're going to be a daddy again." Oh, no, can't be. Can't be. So he said, "Well, I'm sending you to another doctor for a second opinion." The second doctor, he agreed that's what it was. And for 9 months, that little darling wife of mine walked stiff-legged like a board, and she creaked in her joints. She was just really in pain for 9 months. But she ate enough cantaloupe that last 2 months, honestly. Her and I ate cantaloupe like it was going out of style. But it came down to that last night. I'll never forget it. Oh, man, I was sitting there with my little card tabulating all the results. So many pains and so many minutes and so many seconds. And finally, I called the doctor and said, "I'm bringing her in. Looks like it's time." It was only child I was going to get to be in the room while it was born. And we got in there, and they got her all ready, and I'm standing in there just telling her how sweet she is, and the nurses are smiling, and all the instruments, and everything's going great. And I'm standing there, and the beep signals, they had all those instruments hooked up on her, and one of them was going beep, 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 beep. That was the baby's heartbeat. Something else over here was her heartbeat. Something else over here was a graph of everything, as it was going to be just 5 minutes, and the baby was going to be born. And all of a sudden, that signal went beep. We looked at each other. We waited for that next beep. Beep. He said, "Reverend, would you mind leaving the room?" He said, "Something we need to check here." I went outside. It was about 11 o'clock at night. I went in the hallway, had my little cape on. He said, "Come in here and sign some more papers." He said, "We've had a little difficulty here. We're going to have to rush her in and take the baby by cesarean section." I signed some papers and went up the hall to that little quiet little room up there. Nobody was in there. And I was so rattled, as most husbands are. Women can take so much that men can't. They just crumble under the thought of it. Here I'm shaking up there, and here she is. She has to go through the ordeal. Let's say appreciation. Let's say appreciation. I've heard of men that could go down to the pool hall while their wife's gone to have a baby. Dear God, that's a disgrace. A man ought to be as near as he can and show appreciation. It is the least that we can do. Say amen. So I noticed this. A few minutes, they said, "Well, we'll let you know." I went down. I had 20 cents. I'd given all of my change away to other men waiting on their babies to be born. I didn't think about the fact that I could have called all night long on that same 20 cents, you know, out of state and everywhere. But I blew it all, and I thought, man, I'm broke now. So I said, I called my daughter in Texas. I said, "Honey, something's gone wrong. Something's gone wrong. Call everybody you know. Tell them to pray. Tell them to pray." And I went in there, and I bent over that little table with my white cap on. I said, "Oh, God. You've been so good to us. You've never failed us. And if, Lord, if you would even take her at this time, and if the baby doesn't live, or if my wife doesn't live, Lord, you've been so good to me. You've given us so much happiness. I could never accuse you. And God, I want your will. But, oh, Lord, listen to me. I need her. I need her. I want her. I don't want her to leave. I don't want her to die. I want that baby to live. Oh, Lord, I appreciate her." Now, I'll tell you what, in a few minutes, when they brought that little baby out there and said, "I've got something to show you." And when they're born that way, they look like they come from a wax museum, not a mark on them. Amen. Look at here what you got, Reverend Grisham. Oh, man, another boy. I was so excited. I was so excited. I was so excited. Let's say appreciation. They rolled her back in there in that bed a little bit, and I went in there, and she's still groggy. "How do you look, honey? How do you look?" I said, "Oh, honey, you did a great job. I love you. You are the greatest. You did such a super job. I'm proud of you." Oh, let's say appreciation. Let's say appreciation. Let's say appreciation. Man, I want to tell you, if your wife has a dozen kids or one or none, you need to let her know that you appreciate her, that you appreciate her, that you appreciate her. Everything that she does, she is worthy of appreciation. She's worthy of recognition. You remember this. Flowers do mean something. Anniversaries do mean something. You remember to remember her and show appreciation on those days. Her birthday does mean something. Remember this. There's something else that's very, very much in need of showing appreciation. A tidy bathroom. Let's say a tidy bathroom. Amen. A tidy home. Clean bathroom. Good meals. Well-prepared meals. Flowers on the table. I heard of a man a while back. His wife put some flowers on the table to really set things real well. And he sits down there and he says, "Well, what's that? We going to eat that?" You know, well, that just blows all the effort that somebody's put forth to set a nice meal, you know, and put the china down and the napkins down and put some flowers there to create a little atmosphere. And so much lacking in appreciation there that somebody would make a snide remark and say, "Well, what's that for? Are we going to eat them?" Let's say appreciation. Let's say appreciation. I want to drive this right in your heart, you men folks. I want you to know that you need in every way to show appreciation for your wife. Let's go back to this one. I flew into state a while back, and I was staying in a particular home, and this was a rare situation. I've never seen anything like it in my life. Everything was so lovely and beautiful. I went in the bathroom to take a bath, and the tub looked like the coal miners and the mechanics that had a convention. It was literally black. It was black from the drain pipe up to the top. It was not a ring. It was solid almost. The only place it wasn't black was where people had put their foot up on the edge to dry their legs, I guess. You could have carved your initials in the side of that tub. The grunge was so deep. I felt like I was going to need a bath when I got out of the bath. And I thought, "Oh, God, I thank you. I appreciate my wife that cares about keeping a clean home, a wife that cares about keeping a clean house, a tidy bathroom, a neat home, a well-ordered home." Let's say appreciation. How many of you men appreciate your wife for being a careful person and wanting to keep a tidy home? Let's give them a hand tonight. Good housekeeper. Remember this. We need to show appreciation in the presence of our children. Love and affection that those kids will remember and see. And see it often enough that they know what it is and recognize it when they see it. Lots of homes are void of the interchange of appreciation and communication between mom and dad. I remember when we were living near the campus of the Bible school there, our kids were small, and I'd come home, and my wife was a little smaller then than she is now, and I was a little bit stronger than I am now. One of the two or both, I don't know. But anyhow, I would come home from work, and sometimes I'd walk in the house, and the kids would be anxious to see what we were going to do when I came in. And I'd grab her by the waist sometimes and hold her up above my head, you know. And the kids would, boy, they would just cheer and clap, and I'd walk around the room like this, with, you know. I wouldn't dare try that now. It would be a tragedy. But anyhow, those kids, they knew when I came home that, oh, man, I loved her, and I was going to show her my love. And since the kids enjoyed that, and I kind of enjoyed it too, you know, well, we just put on quite a show for those kids there a little bit. So they went to school. They got to telling all the exciting things that happened at home, you know. So those good Christian school teachers couldn't get the picture in their mind what was going on. They didn't think that Brother Sister Grisham fought, but they couldn't be exactly sure now, you know. So how many know what appreciation really is? You can show it in so many different ways. Let's say appreciation. Show appreciation in the presence of the children. Men, let's remember this. Let's don't come to the table only half-dressed. I know sometimes there's men that a wife has fixed a lovely meal. They get out of the tub and they'll come to the table with bare feet and a bare chest and belly up to that table, you know, and here's all the trimmings and turkey and gravy and dressing and flowers and china and napkins, and here they are. Water still running down their neck and their hair is still fluffing it out, you know, and here they are. Oh, let's show enough appreciation. They've been slaving for hours, and they've had the thermostat just right. Let's show enough appreciation. Let's get ready and come to the table fully dressed. And all the people said, amen. You might say, where in the world do you find this in the Bible? Hey, let me tell you, that Bible's full of all these principles. Let's say appreciation. Let's remember to show appreciation. Let's teach our wife and our children to think well of themselves. If you'll show proper appreciation to your wife, she'll have a better self-esteem. She'll feel fulfilled. Amen. I believe that the greatest deterrent to decay in a home starts when you teach a child. If the mama burns the toast, you teach the child to say thank you anyway. I'm telling you, that word thank you is an important word. That word thank you. If the oatmeal's cold, teach that child to say, thank you, Mama, for fixing that oatmeal. If you'll teach a child to be thankful, the older they get, that principle will live in their heart. And it's never a small thing to say thank you. That's one of the biggest words in the English language. Show appreciation if you're thankful. Oh, we take so many things for granted. The air that we breathe, the water from the tap. Much of the world goes to bed at night with no comfortable bed. We take so many things for granted. And one thing we dare not take for granted is the one that God gave us that we're to love and to give ourselves for them as Christ did for the church. We need to show appreciation. We need to live in such a manner that they know they're appreciated. Hallelujah. I feel the Lord right now. Amen. Oh, let's love Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Show appreciation and you'll give them self-esteem. Encourage your daughters to be like their mother. In Christian education, children learn far more from what they see in life as godly models than what they're told. They really learn from what they see. They really do what they see. Little girls, as they grow up and they see a godly mother, they know what a godly mother is all about, and then they know what they should be as a godly little girl that will one day be a godly mother. Little boys, when they grow up, they'll know exactly what they are to be looking for in a wife if they have a godly mother. And dads, we have such a responsibility in making that woman a woman of God by creating the atmosphere in that household where they know who they are and are enjoying their life. I think it's a tragedy when people don't love themselves and don't like what they do in life. A mother that has poor self-esteem, that never feels she's appreciated for anything, she goes through life unfulfilled. And I know them by the scores across the country tonight. But a woman who has a husband that knows how to properly show appreciation and provide for her the security and the feeling of really being loved and appreciated is a woman that's happy. Amen. Amen. Let's look further. Little girls, they know what a husband should be when they see their daddy doing those things around the home that would one day be the model of what she looks for in a husband. Amen. She sees her father, you know, who turns attention away from himself and gives it to others. How many times have you men, and I know there are godly men in this building tonight, that you've delayed getting yourself a pair of shoes because you knew that your little darlings needed a pair of shoes? You're the one that they almost have to totally talk into doing anything for yourself because your every dream is not built around what you're going to get, but what you're going to be able to get for your family. Oh, it's a joy when you're a husband and you have a wife that you love and you got children that you love. You just can't wait for the next nice thing that you're going to get to do for them. How many feel that way? Isn't it great to be a husband? Isn't it great to be a dad? Isn't it great to have God to give us the direction? Oh, hallelujah! I wouldn't trade it for anything. Amen. Teach little girls to prefer their fathers. Remember, in church life, we would scarcely have to worry about God's government if it was enacted at home. God's order. Examples, obvious. Wife that is a godly example, you know, of submission to her husband in the home. Husbands loving their wives, and together they love God. That seems to be the order. That's such a good role model that God can use to bring others to Himself. A good example, of course, when we believe in authority, when the wife is under authority, when the husband is the head of the house. The result is very, very beautiful. The children recognize what authority is all about. Peace prevails. Bad example, of course, would be this. When the family doesn't understand authority, and the husband isn't the head of the home, when the wife isn't submitted to the husband, if she feels she's smarter or for any reason does not submit to her husband and the Lord, the result, of course, is this. Chaos develops. Wife rebels. Husband doesn't try to enforce anything. And rebellion begins to be the resulting thing in that home. It's a tragedy. I've seen it so many times. in that atmosphere, well, then the dad retires to keep peace. He just simply gets out of the shuffle and doesn't try to do anything to correct the children, lead the family, lead the wife, or anything. He just goes to work, if at all. Kids develop the attitude of saying, I don't want any part of authority. That authority business is not for me. Then this frustration is passed on to the church. If the family still stays in church, that church has to buffer all of that frustration that's in the home. Have you seen it in the home? Have you seen it in the church? And every church is like a hospital. Not everybody that comes to church is well. That's the way a hospital is. And that's what the church is for. And that's what this seminar is for. The Bible says that Jesus came not to those that were well, but He came to those that needed a physician, those that needed healing. This seminar is not just to entertain us, but it's to provide healing for our families, healing for the wife, healing for the husband, healing for the family unit, healing for the children, and as a result, healing for the body of Christ, because we're members in particular. If something's wrong with you, don't feel that you're the only one. Something's wrong with all of us. God's perfecting this church, and we're all in stages of perfection. And perfection is only a level of development. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Kids will say, you know, I've had all that religious stuff crammed down my throat I want. So this is a very frustrating thing. Dad's frustration is passed to the mother. Mother's frustration is passed on to the children. Children's frustration is passed back to the parents, into the church and out into the world. It is repeated many, many, many times. Oh, God, if we could all find our way to an altar and join hands, moms and dads and children, and find our way. If we need to repent, repent. Don't blame it on each other. Don't blame it on your wife. Don't blame it on your husband. Let's find a way to get God's provision in our behalf. Get the blood applied to our situation. Where does it start? I believe it starts with the father who doesn't assume his place. It's compounded through the wife because I believe that God made a wife to submit. I believe it's an innate desire in a woman to have a leader for her. God made her that way. I believe that a woman will follow a man that will lead her. I believe that if he'll love her and give himself for her as Christ did the church, in most cases a wife is happy to live in the realm of that particular situation. But when it doesn't happen that way, it's compounded through the wife. It's multiplied through the children. And where does it go? The kids grow up, and if they go to church at all, they want to go to a church where they have no rules whatsoever, no authority. They don't want any authority. That's their attitude. But remember this. Husbands, meet the needs of your wife. And remember this. Wives, meet the needs of your husband. And I believe that children will fall in line with the proper authority in as it's practiced in the home. I believe that with all my heart. If I didn't believe that, I couldn't preach the gospel. But I believe it with all my heart. Let's love Jesus again. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, here's a good example. Home. When people have been taught properly at home, they want a church where proper authority is practiced. Aren't you glad to have a church where there's some authority and where it's practiced properly? Where the ministry isn't a club over people's head, but it's leadership, it's loving, it's caring, it's sharing, it's responsibility. In a home, when people have been taught properly at home, they want a church where proper authority is practiced. In the family, marriage problems, in most cases, I'd say it's the fault of the husband, not meeting the needs of the wife and not assuming the role as a leader, which results in the rebellion of a wife and the children. A wife recognizes when a husband's not leading her, and many times she faunches and rebels, as it were. She smarts, as it were, from the imposition of her having a man that won't lead her. That brings about rebellion. It breaks down the chain of command. It causes love to depart from a home. And that rebellion is then passed on to the children. They rebel, and then they rebel, and it's compounded out into the world. Church problems, in most cases, it's brought on by problems in the home. Wife not under authority. A weak man and rebellious children. And all the people said, Amen. Husbands, let me emphasize this once again. Husbands, show appreciation every day. Show appreciation at the table. Mention how good the food is. Mention how beautiful the table set. Mention how much you appreciate the time that was taken in the preparation of that meal. Show it publicly. Show your appreciation every way you know how. Show appreciation before the children. Express appreciation to your wife when you're alone. Talk about it, how much you appreciate her. In so doing, she will love you. She will honor you. And the children will grow to appreciate you and honor the both of you. I believe that children find great comfort in knowing that mom and dad are happy with each other. I believe that with all my heart. Oh, isn't Jesus wonderful? Next, communication. And I've added the word intimate communication. Let's say that together. Intimate communication. What was the first I mentioned to you? Security. Let's say security. That's what every husband needs to provide for his wife. Second was what? Appreciation. All right? Next, communication. Let's say intimate communication. Don't get too busy. I believe that every man needs to plan his wife into his calendar. I know people that every week plan their wife into their calendar. Plan them in there. They don't have to tell everybody, but somebody says, can you do a certain thing, certain time? No, I can't. I have that time is already taken. They don't have to describe all the details, but plan your wife into your activities every week in a special way. A very special way that she knows that you planned her into that schedule by design, that nothing would interfere. So that you don't get too busy, that everyone will know that you care for your wife. Don't get too busy that you cannot include her. And don't develop a pattern of life that leaves no time for the wife. Make sure. I've known of homes where, even in a minister's home, where they would have company and they would say, well, listen, my wife and I, we are always together on Saturday morning, and it's one of those times we just love to be together. And if you folks don't mind, well, there's cereal in the cabinet, there's cream in the refrigerator, and there's sugar there, and there's bananas. You all go ahead and fix for yourself, but you don't mind us having this time to ourselves. We do this every Saturday morning, and you'll understand. And later today, we'll get together, and we'll go somewhere together and eat, all of us. But my wife and I, we just love to be together, and we love to be together alone on Saturday mornings. I think that people would respect you even if you told them. I think that a wife really needs to know that her husband thinks that she is important enough that she is planned into the schedule. Let's say intimate communication. Plan her by design into your activities, and at least once a week, take her out to eat. You tightwad. If you don't ever take her out to eat somewhere, you are a tightwad. In parentheses, quotation marks, exclamation marks, underlined, overscored, red letters, the whole business. A man needs to take his wife out and show her that he really loves her. Go take her out to eat and not at McDonald's. Amen. Send her flowers. Let's say that together. Send her flowers. And when you go to a restaurant, let me just say this. When you go to a restaurant, it's so easy, you know. A man sometimes, he takes his wife out to eat, you know, and he'll sit here, and he'll have her this way, and he's facing the door. The menu comes. He holds the menu up. Somebody comes in. Hey, Jack. Hey, yeah. Hey, man, how you doing? What shift you on this week? Man, it's good to see you, Jack. Just a minute. We're ordering. Okay. Yeah, give me sirloin. Yeah, medium. Hey, Jack. Yeah. Hey, man. I'll see you in just a few minutes. Yeah, honey, it's so nice. We're going to have meal together here tonight, and I really do. Hey, Ned. Hey, man. Just a minute, honey. I'll be right back. Hey, man. I tell you what. Did you know what? Well, you know, a bunch of us guys are going to get. We're going to go deer hunting. You know. Yeah. Well, listen. Hey, man. We'll talk about it. Why's back here? Can I get that? Okay, honey. Listen, yeah, I'm sorry, honey. The fellow's been talking about going deer hunting and all, and yeah. It's nice to be with you here tonight. Sam. Hey, listen, honey. You wait right here. I'll be right back. When you go to a restaurant, see her where you can give her eye contact. Amen. See her where she's looking that way, and you're looking at the wall, the candle. And her, amen, you can give her your attention. Let her know that you are totally committed to give her this time, uninterrupted by nobody, Tom, Dick, Harry, Ned, Sam, nobody. She is number one, and seat yourself for eye contact. Let's say eye contact. Clap your hands for the Lord. Let's say this together. Give her your attention. How many of you like to talk to somebody that you know don't even know what word you're saying? You know, not paying attention. That just aggravates me. If somebody's talking, they deserve to be listened to. And if your wife is letting you talk to her and you're talking to her, you need to give her the full benefit of knowing that she has got every bit of your attention and that you've got every bit of her attention. All right, enough said on that. Let's go back over those things again. Security, say it. Security. Appreciation. Communication and intimate communication. And next, K, kisses. Man, I drew the best heart I knew how to draw. Affection, let's say affection. Now, some feel it is less than masculine to kiss. I hope it isn't. I certainly hope it isn't. After all these years, don't anybody tell me that, because I honestly believe that God gave this to human beings as a means of real affection and communication. There's not anything that God created but what He made them able to communicate in an affectionate manner. How many have ever seen a couple of birds kiss? Well, I've seen birds kiss. How many have seen a couple of animals? I mean, they'll gnaw around on each other. They get around there and mug up a little bit. Have anybody ever seen anything like that? Well, don't you think for a minute that God made man and woman and left them void, you know. When our kids were small and they was thinking about, you know, the day when they get married, well, I'd say, honey, you kids are, who would you like to be like when you get married? And Brother Thompson will remember this, these two old couples in the church. One was Brother Sister Phillips. And Sister Phillips, when she'd get up to testify, all the young people, they didn't know what she's going to say from time to time. She'd get up and she'd say, you know, I want to thank God for my husband. Said, we've been married a long time, me and Huey. And all of us would sit there and wait. Man, it's going to get exciting about now. And she'd say, I'll tell you, Huey and I, when we got married, that's Huey. He was a real lover. Right in church. Why, that didn't embarrass me. I guarantee you, you can tell when somebody stubbed their toe and they got something against one another. They'll drag that old dead spirit into church. It's great that somebody loves one another enough to even express their joy to Jesus Christ. She might have gone too far with her expression, but God bless her anyhow. She's still in the church, and here he's gone on to meet his reward. She'd say, I remember that Huey could kiss good. And so all the young people, man, they thought, hey, when I get married, I want to have a marriage like that. And I'd ask my daughters and my sons, who would you all like to be like when you get, oh, man, I'd like to be like Brother and Sister Phillips. They act like they love each other so much. And then there was Dad McCutcheon and his wife. And Dad McCutcheon on Sunday, he was the father-in-law to Brother Wayne Mitchell in Moline, Illinois. We'd go out on Sunday afternoon to eat chicken, and we'd come along the road there, and there'd be Brother and Sister McCutcheon driving along the highway. And Sister McCutcheon would be way over there underneath the wheel with him. Up in their 60s, you know, near 70 years old. Man, she's over there underneath the wheel. I mean, they're driving along, and we'd honk and wave, and here they're going to the chicken house. And we'd drive along, and all my little kids, it looked like a tree full of owls. We'd pull our station wagon up alongside and wave at them, and I said, who would y'all like to be like when you get married? I'd love to have a marriage like Brother and Sister McCutcheon. Did you know that our kids see those kind of things, and they know who the sticking the muds are in the church? They know who the toad frogs on the stump are. They know who loves one another. And we ought to respect our God enough to let the kind of a light shine from our very household that the whole world would know that we are in love. Say amen. Clap your hands for the Lord. It's not sissy to kiss. It's not sissy to kiss. God gave you that ability, and there ought to be a whole lot more of it. I don't know how long I'll live, and I've already got my upper plate after about 25 years ago. If I get so old and so decrepit, I just pray to God I'll have enough strength to just move over there just a little bit closer to her, and I'm going to gum her till I die. Amen. Praise the Lord. I love her. Amen. Let's clap our hands for Jesus Christ. Old Dad McCutcheon, I'll never forget one night, he always went to get his car, you know, to pick her up. Oh, even up in years, that polite business, pull up to the curb, wait for her, come down the steps. I think that's fantastic. He was so polite. And here was this other couple in the church, this old toad frog couple. He got in line, and we got his car and come up, and Sister McCutcheon was waiting and telling everybody on the steps, you know, goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. And she didn't notice which car had pulled up, and she got in there and slid over against the toad frog. People were waving goodbye, and here was the old boy underneath the wheel. He probably had to set that close to somebody in so many years. He didn't know whether to go blind or... And finally, somebody told her that she got in the wrong car. Let's say kisses. Let's say affection. Let's say kisses. Now, come on now, saints. You're Easterners and you're Northerners, but don't freeze up on me now. Let's say kisses. Let's say affection. Let's clap our hands for Jesus Christ. Wives need it. Children need to see it. And I'm not talking about sensual love. I'm talking about plain old affection. Coming in from work, coming home from your job, and taking a moment in the presence of the whole family to just hold each other and kiss. If those kids grow up in a home where they've never seen mom and dad ever show any love and affection, what kind of a mess is their marriage going to be? They won't even know what love's all about. They're going to get all their ideas off of that TV screen or off of those billboards or those books. I'd rather they'd see a godly home where a dad loves his wife and affectionately kisses his wife and his children. I've married people that were of the totally opposite emotional, you know, character. One came from a home where they didn't kiss nobody. Married a girl, come from a family where, man, everybody kissed each other. Go to family reunion. How many know I'm telling you the truth? No. Did you know that makes for a real imbalance? How many know that makes for a real imbalance? And you know what it took to get them finally get together where they could even communicate? They finally had a little baby and they both kissed the baby. And finally they got the idea that it would probably be all right to really... I've counseled. Well, I don't know. I've never been to kissing kind. I don't know. I don't know how. My mom and dad didn't kiss. I don't know how to do all that. We never did that in our household. I've heard them say that. Let me tell you something. Every one of you men need to set the tone in your home where there's affection, where there's kisses, where there's love, where there's appreciation, where there's security there so that everybody from the neighborhood all the way to the church and the holy angels and God Almighty knows that that's a home where real affection is. Say amen. Brother, I could almost preach an hour just on that. All right, I'm just about through. Ladies, I'm trying to give equal time. We don't want to slight anybody. We aren't just bound together intellectually. We don't have to think alike, but we do need to think together. The needs of a wife must be met. Kisses. Let's all just take a moment here and just laugh. Can we do that? Do you love Jesus? Aren't you happy God gave you your marriage mate? Oh, I love the Lord, don't you? Praise the Lord. All right, as we conclude tonight, just very quickly, in the kingdom of God, we're building each other. We husbands need to be charter members of the order of the table waiters. We need to be servants. We need to get in there and help her cook. We need to get in there and clean up the dishes. I remember when our kids were small, my wife, bless her little heart, added all up, 6 kids, you know, in this 32 years of marriage, 6 times 9, 54, that's pregnancy, 54 months. Everything from puking to groaning, and then 4.5 years of chasing a toddler. Added all up, 9 years, you know, well, before that, let's say 4.5 years of nursing babies. That's back when they nursed babies. 4.5 years of carrying a baby, 4.5 years of nursing a baby. You think she didn't deserve some appreciation? We'd go to bed and all those kids would be in bed and we'd wake up in the morning with us, leg over this way, one underneath the cover all the way down, arm across your face here. She deserves a medal every year. I mean, she deserves. So on Fridays and Saturdays, I tried to do extra things for her. And on Saturdays, I always cooked the breakfast. Always. Always fixed breakfast on Saturdays. Man, the kids got a kick out of that. Man, I'd fix French toast and I'd fix the pancakes and waffles. And on Sunday morning, I'd fix the breakfast. So that she'd get a little bit of a break. Because you see, a woman that's raised a family and has kept that home, I'm telling you, she is worthy of every bit of help she can get. And that is the reason that husbands need to be charter members of the Order of the Table Waiters. Fix your wife's breakfast once in a while. Amen and amen. That's what really makes it work, because that's what we are to one another. We're really servants to one another. Let's say help. Let's say love. Let's say affection. Kisses. And here we are as we conclude. Read it with me together. The object of the wife is to submit herself to her husband and obey. The object of the husband is to love his wife and to give himself for her. If these two things are in line, then the home becomes a kingdom home where there is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the conclusion of our Family Life Seminar. May God bless every one of you and make your home a happy one. And may every one of you be ready for the soon coming of Jesus Christ. God bless you, Pastor.